This is Radio Labour.
We've talked a lot about what's happening in the world. We've talked a lot about what's happening in our workplaces. But if we start and look at what has been going on in specific countries, and I'm going to start off by just where it all started, the Arab Springs in Tunisia, where we saw the demonstrations, we saw the high unemployment rate, food inflation, corruption, lack of freedom of speech, political freedoms, and poor living conditions that brought the people to the streets, that talked about opposition to what was going on. And that's what brings workers together, is that whole issue. One other one that I want to bring to your attention is Spain. We've seen what's happening in that country. We've seen the trade unions hitting the streets. They are talking about the fact that their negotiations are no longer valid. They're talking about the low recovery of the labor market. And just a few weeks ago, they were on the streets because their government has decided to again do more cuts. And it's getting to the point where the workers are saying, what's going to happen next? Even the police are on the streets because they're seeing that their healthcare system, something that they took for granted, is now being eroded. They are walking the streets talking about the fact that they are now going to have a co-pay system where the unemployment rate is 24%, where the youth are unemployed up to 50%, and their government is doing nothing to stimulate that economy. And for us, brothers and sisters, these are important examples because their slogan, their call to action, is without bread, there will be no peace. And that's what we're seeing around the world in many countries. So for us here in Canada, where we see our government signing trade agreements around the world with countries like Colombia, where workers don't have any rights, where we've seen workers, there's been 29 trade unionists killed last year alone in Colombia. 29 trade unionists, just for being a trade unionist, just for speaking up on behalf of workers. And so as a union, we build solidarity with organizations that take on those issues. We look at organizations that not only look at the whole issue that there is poverty in this world, but we also look at the fact that we join with organizations that try to look at the root cause of what the problems are for workers and what is happening to workers in general. So for us, poverty alleviation is very important. We build solidarity with workers in Canada or workers that are looking at these root causes. We are talking with countries, other organizations around the world that are also looking at these same issues. And we become involved. We take on this. We've heard this all week where we go and we are talking about stopping Harper and what he's doing to workers. And for us, this is so critical because there's so many issues that are important to workers. We talk about the precarious work situation for workers. We talk about taking our challenges to the government, to our workplaces, so that we are educating our members every opportunity that we can. Because we all want to be able to have decent work. We want to define decent work no differently than any other worker in this world, that we want to stop precarious work. And we've seen the fight. We've seen this on the picket lines. We saw when we joined in ALMA, where we talked to the workers there on the picket lines about what they're striking for. And we are striking for many workers who aren't able to be on the picket line, who don't have a union to support them when they're taking on those challenges. And we saw this with the community groups that came and supported our strike at Caterpillar. And these kind of links that we make with our communities, but also with the broader labor movement, is what's really important when we're taking on the challenges of the corporate world. And for us as trade unionists, we've joined together with other unions in this country to take on what is happening. And we also link with the trade union movement around the world. And we do this with our international affiliations. And for both of those strikes and for many other strikes, we join with the global union federations in getting support, to getting our messages out, They send letters of solidarity, and many of you who have been on the picket lines have received those letters of solidarity from workers around the world that may be working in the same sector or not, but they know the importance of the strike and how we in the CEW are challenging those corporate elite at the picket line. And for us, that is so important. We not only get the solidarity, but we also send it out. We provide support to workers in other countries, and we make those links through our global union federations. We have different ways of educating our membership, but that education also builds solidarity for our members. We educate our members on the issues. We build strong workplaces where we have committees in place. We pressure government. We build coalitions, and we strengthen our links with the international movement. And all of this gives us the credibility to do work internationally. It is the work that you do in your communities, in your workplaces, that gives us the credibility to do the work around the world. We've seen every morning, we see in the films that are shown here what our membership does in their communities to be able to support workers. Well, that is the kind of work that we do internationally. And for us, it is so important that as we build those education components in our locals, working with the broader community on issues at our center, we use the opportunities of conferences to bring in international speakers so that we can hear firsthand what's happening to workers around the world. And as we've done here for the last couple of days, we have heard from different areas of expertise. We've heard from our members on the floor. This is how we keep in touch with each other. And we think that is so important when it comes to international solidarity, because without knowing what's happening to workers from one end of the country to the other, then that, brothers and sisters, is something that we really do cherish in this organization. And when I talk to unions around the world, it is not that common. It is not that easy for them to meet the way we do. In many countries, being, as I mentioned, in Colombia, being a trade unionist is not very safe. These opportunities to be able to meet together and discuss the issues is so critical. And one of the ways that we show solidarity is by negotiating and working with our Social Justice Fund. The Social Justice Fund is truly the philosophy of social unionism. We've used that term all this week when we talk about our union, the work we do in our communities, and how we try to improve the working conditions for our families and our communities. Well, that is how we are able to support the workers around the world with the Social Justice Fund. It was first negotiated in 1990. We have been able to support over 900 projects around the world, building trade union movements. Because there are not a lot of international organizations that build trade union movements. Democratic, free trade union movements that will support workers, that will bring to light the issues that workers find that important. Since 1990, when we think about how we are able to raise the money with the Social Justice Fund, it started off by being a penny an hour for every worked hour. And since then, we have about 30% of our membership that is covered by the Social Justice Fund. When you think of that, it's just pennies. But when you put it all together, since the inception of the Social Justice Fund, we have been able to raise over $50 million to do our work. And that is important, because we do the work that many other organizations don't do. We build solidarity. We talk about precarious work, because precarious work is crossing the borders. It is infiltrated every country, even China. China is looking at how to combat labor contracts and temporary work agencies in their legislation. So when workers have to leave their communities to be able to find work, when workers have to leave due to war, famine, or natural disasters, it's always a challenge when it comes to rebuilding their lives. And for us, The whole issue is more than just finding work, but the whole issue, when we talk about poverty, if you look at the statistics around the world, this year, the stats that are coming out, there's 1.2 billion people living in extreme poverty. Most of them are women. 925 million people go to bed hungry every night. And 50,000 people die from poverty-related causes every day. And so when you look at those kinds of statistics, it's the work that we are able to do here in Canada and abroad that is so important, because we build those free trade union movements. We try and give a voice to workers who do not have a voice. We try and work with organizations that do not have the resources because they don't have the legislation of the RAND formula. So when you have workers working for less than $2 a day, it is very difficult to get the resources to provide the education, to be able to get the organizers out in those economic zones that are there and that the workers are trying to compete and be able to form trade unions so that they have a voice as the trade union movement. The Social Justice Fund has an opportunity to also respond when people are hit by natural disasters. Our membership got together and raised over $400,000 when the disaster hit in Haiti. And we found organizations on the ground in order to be able to rebuild with Doctors Without Borders, a hospital, an obstetrics hospital, the only hospital in Haiti that provides free medical clinic to women who are giving birth to children. We worked with Canadian Feed the Children to rebuild an orphanage in order for the young women that were there have a place to stay now, a safe place to stay, so they can go on and to go to school and rebuild their lives. And we are continuing to work in Haiti as they are struggling to rebuild. Just because it is off the front pages of the news doesn't mean that the work is done. And that's something that we have learned as we've gone along the way, that the work is never done. And we need to continue to work with these organizations as they build their country back into a place where it's going to work for all people. We worked in India post-tsunami, and we worked with a group called the APVVU. It's a union that represents workers in the agricultural and the fish sector. This is a union that represents mostly Adivasis and Dalits. These are workers that were displaced from their communities when the tsunami hit. But then they got hit with another tsunami. It's called the non-natural. It is called the rebuilding of corporate elite. As soon as they found out how wonderful the beaches were, they started to build hotels on the beaches, so the fish workers no longer have the opportunity to have access to those beaches. When they found out how good the land was and how beautiful the seas were, they decided that they were going to also expand the ports so they can bring more business to those communities. And for us, it was important to continue doing work with the APVVU as their struggle continued to be able to get land and resources. And for the APVVU, they were the ones that mobilized those workers, that now they are challenging the government as far as gaining their rights as human beings to be able to speak up, to speak out, but also improve the standards in their own communities. So as they're being moved off of their lands, they are starting to share the resources such as seeds that are natural to that area. They are gathering them, they are sharing them with other communities so that they all have access to this. So when you look at the literacy level, that was very important for them to increase and to give opportunities to their children. The critical part of being a member of the APVVU is the fact that being a member means you have to be involved. And you have to make a commitment to the union that you're going to send your children to school. And for us, that is a critical component of development, because then the next generation will have much more opportunities than what they had in the past. So building support, building trade unions, building and training, all of the things that we provide for our union members here in Canada is what we do internationally with the support of the Social Justice Fund. We bring trade unionists to our center. We provide an opportunity of exchange and expression of being able to gain some of the skills that they need to go back and strengthen their unions. And not to say that they do not have the ability to do wonderful things in their country. It's the fact that they don't have the resources to do it. It is so important for our union to continue the work that we have been doing. Thank you.